Morning, darling.
Oh, morning.
Turn the telly on, will you?
Good morning. This is TV AM. It's 8 o'clock and the headlines today are dominating.
Oh, no, switch it off, please, darling. It's too sad.
What is?
Oh, they've lost their franchise and I just can't bear the thought of it.
Oh, come on now, silly old thing. The new company won't take over until 1993. You can watch TV AM for another 14 months yet.
I know, and I just can't bear the thought of it.
Here with the very latest news are the news headlines, starring Roy Hunt, Hugh Whitfield, and Chris Emmett, with Peter Moss and the headliners.
Thank you indeed, folks, and welcome to the show. Yes, the show that does for the news what the franchise bids do for fair play. But talking of cruel fates, I see that British Rail have announced their latest fare increases, eh? They say they're absolutely essential if they're to invest more money in better excuses. But some good news this week, eh? Britain is on the road to recovery. Yeah. Bad news is the road's the M25. Did you see that the health minister has banned doctors from prescribing baked beans? Some Tories are afraid it could backfire on them. And if you think that might cause a stink, what about those scientists who plan to use turkey droppings to fuel power stations? Still, I suppose it's better than letting Bernard Matthews sell them, don't you, really? And how about that story in the Mirror, eh? The one that wasn't about Robert Maxwell, you remember? The mother who acted as a surrogate and gave birth to her daughter's babies. Amazing, isn't it? The first mother-in-law in history who's entitled to tell her daughter how to bring up the kids, eh? Oh, and John Major says that the BBC is biased against him. He doesn't know what he's talking about, does he, the boring four-eyed twit? And John Major also said, I've got it, I like it, and with your help, I'm going to keep it. And Norma said, I've had it, I didn't like it, and he's not getting it again. Meanwhile, at the little dig-em-in-the-ditch Conservative Club...
Binky. Bunny, how are you?
Oh, and isn't that Bunty? Gwee, Bunty!
Hello, Binky, Bunny.
Bunty, how's Bonky?
Oh, well, you know Bonky.
Yes,
thank God for penicillin, that's all I can say. Look, boys, I'm trying to rally the troops a bit about these army cuts.
Cuts? What cuts?
Well, they're trying to get rid of the local battalion. This is King Fellow.
King Fellow? What's happened to George? You know, the nice wife, the...
No, Bunny, no. Fellow's not his name, it's Tom.
Well, what's his name?
King Tom wants to get rid of the old battalion.
Oh.
Yes, I mean, we can't dump our boys on the scrap heap simply because the enemy's thrown the towel in.
Ah, so old Hitler's seen sense at last, has he, girl?
Never would have happened in my day.
No, nor mine, I tell you. It'll be women prime ministers next, mark my words.
Oh, don't be absurd.
Oh, for heaven's sake, Binky, what about Thatcher?
Thatcher? Isn't he the chap that drinks too much?
That's the one?
Yes.
That's him? Wife's an old bossy boo.
Yes.
Well, what about him?
They're going to make him Prime Minister.
Good Lord. Well, can't be any worse than the present fella, eh? What's his name again? It begins with M.
Macmillan.
That's the chap.
Yes.
You two are absolutely useless. Huh? It's Major John.
John what?
Major John what? He did those songs from the shows on radio, didn't he? Used to. Yes. Didn't he serve out east with us?
Good Lord, yes. Old Johnny Watt.
Old Johnny Watt.
So he's Prime Minister now. Well, bully for him.
I say, look, can we get back to these cuts?
Old Johnny Watt cutting the forces has not gone conchy, has he?
Oh, for the last time, you stupid old buffers. It's nothing to do with Johnny Watt.
Infiltrators, mark my words.
Probably those damn Belgians again.
No. The Belgians could never organize something as dastardly as this.
Oh.
You mark my words, it's a damn socialist.
Ackley, I might have known. Yes. We have to stop him. Stand aside, Bunty. This is no job for a woman.
Oh, never. I've given my life to the army ever since I lost my dear husband in Germany.
Yes, the Reeperbahn in Hamburg, wasn't it?
So, Bunny, you give the orders. Now, where do we start?
I'm not sure if I...
All right, then, you Binky.
You see, neither of us really had any experience, this sort of thing.
I thought you said you served, Daddy.
We served, all right.
As waiters.
Yes. Officers' mess only, mind you.
And out east?
Billy Ricky.
The good end of
the
world.
The barracks.
Yes.
So you don't know anything about soldiering at all?
Yes, I do. I know what to do in a situation like this.
What's that, old boy?
Sound the retreat. Quick!
Oh, come back here, you frauds!
Passport control. Can I see your passport, please?
Yes. Here you are.
And what is your destination?
Serbia, Croatia.
Make up your mind.
I have. I'm with the EC relief convoy now.
Snooker star John Wright. You potted only 8 balls during a 5-0 defeat by Steve Davis this week. Now, you face disciplinary action for allegedly playing one under the influence of alcohol. What have you got to say for yourself?
Go! Then you! 2 little balls were blue, squire. 2 little balls were blue. 30 reds, 12 pockets, and 1 to end the queue. 2 yellows, 2 browns, 2 greens, squire. 2 blacks for me to pot. I said, oh, fiddle, and aimed in the middle and missed the bloody lot.
Guess what, dear? I got nothing on underneath this dressing gown. Let's do it.
That reminds me, we've run out of pickled onions.
Oh. Don't worry about that now, then. I'm in the mood, aren't I? It's Friday. Let's get down to some serious rumpty-tumpty.
I must get some faggots, too.
What? I know what'll get you going. I'll let my dressing gown slip to the floor to reveal my wild masculine body in all its glory. There.
I must get some knackwurst as well.
Oh, I get it. This is just what that psychologist said, that women have their minds on mundane things when they're making love.
Oh, no, it's not.
What is it, then?
I'm thinking about all these shopping things because we're in the middle of Sainsbury's.
Hello, is it on? Good morning, everyone. Welcome to this year's conference of the National Association of Probation Officers. As conference chairperson, I know there's a lot to get through, so I'll keep this short. First item on the...
Point of order. You used a derogatory term there. Can you rephrase it, please?
Excuse me.
What are you talking about? Who are you, anyway?
Barry Snide, I am. Union representative charged with the monitoring of all delegate speeches to advise on discriminatory terminology, like your own.
What did I say? Surely chairperson's acceptable.
Oh, yes, it's what came after that, isn't it? You said keep it short.
Well, what's wrong with that?
Short, my friend, is an offensive adjective. Used to describe people of reduced stature.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Point of order.
What now? Who are you?
Brenda Jitter, colleague of Barry and fellow speech monitor. Do you honestly think it is right to use the word heaven when many people here do not believe in it as a religious concept?
I hadn't thought of it before.
Thoughtlessness is not an excuse in our book, Mr. Chairperson. Now, please proceed with care now.
Sorry about that, ladies and gentlemen. As I was saying, I'll keep this quick. The first item on the agenda is that age-old chestnut overtime.
Point of order!
Excuse me.
What now?
Aren't chestnuts acceptable? Was I being nuttist?
Not nuttist, no, no. But ageist, yes.
How dare you talk of old chestnuts as if they were beneath contempt?
It's just a little saying.
Little? What grudge have you got against people of reduced stature, eh?
I've got nothing against them. I mean, I'm not exactly huge myself.
Well, that is a matter alone for you to come to terms with, my friend. But I urge you here to cease this sizes propaganda.
And hurry up and finish your speech, will you?
That chance of that.
He's a waitress, too.
Yeah. Oh, listen to me, young woman.
Young?
Oh, listen, woman, I've had enough from you. Will you please shut up and let me continue?
Brenda, don't move. I'll call for help.
What is it?
You were staring at her.
I was just looking at her because I was talking to her.
Yes, and undressing me mentally as you did so.
What?
You sexual harasser.
Now, let's just get this straight.
Straight? Why can't we get it gay?
What?
Must we add homophobia to your list of fascist obsessions?
No. Oh, look. Now the delegates are turning ugly.
Oh, they've been ugly for years, those delegates.
I don't know what to say anymore.
Oh, pull yourself together. Adopt the macho posturings of a person with stereotypically male-associated mannerisms.
What?
Act like a man.
Barry.
Oh, I'm sorry, Brandy.
It's no good. You two have made me too nervous to say anything now.
Oh, leave this to me. I'll make a speech that will get a standing ovation.
Oh, yeah? What can you say that 200 bored probation officers will want to hear which isn't offensive?
Trust him. He knows what he's doing.
My fellow probation officers, the bar is open!
You look cheerful, mate.
Ah, well, you see, I failed a breathalyzer.
Oh?
But I told the court that I worked as a fire eater, and that it was paraffin on my breath, not booze. And they let me off the day.
Well done, well done. So I expect you'll have a few drinks to sell it.
No. I never drink, but I'll mark the occasion with a nice cigar. Perhaps I'll have that drink after all. Well, showbiz news now, and I see that Harold Bishop in Neighbours is being killed off. Aye. There's even worse news, you know. The rest of the cast aren't. And did you see that women who are addicted to sex have been writing to Noel Edmonds? Blimey, if that doesn't cure them, nothing will it? And I hear that the male strippers, the Chippendales, are going to appear on Brookside. Funny, really, it's usually EastEnders that's a load of cobblers, isn't it? But there we are. But some good news for the BBC this week, eh? No, not the ITV franchises again. The programme Casualty is at the top of the ratings. I'm not surprised. It's the only chance most people get to see the inside of a hospital these days. And Des O'Connor upset an Irish band by telling Paddy jokes on his show. Mind you, it could have been worse. He could have sung to them, couldn't he, really? And I read that a 2-foot mushroom has been found in a field near Grimsby. Apparently, 2 gnomes handed it in because they couldn't keep up the mortgage. She wrote some great stuff, that Enid Blyton. There we are. And I see that when the water at 2 hotels was cut off, guests sat in baths full of Perrier. I've heard of getting bubbles up your nose, but that's ridiculous. Oh, yes, and Southern Electric were ordered to pay £500 because it took them 4 years to mend a washing machine. They say they'll be round to pay the fine next Wednesday. But they can't say if it'll be morning or afternoon. You know. And how about those thieves who broke into a warehouse and nicked 50 quid's worth of toilet rolls? Police are looking for a gang of curry-loving crooks who are on the run. is this the right room for the interview?
Oh, you must be Mr. Viken. Come in, sit down.
Hello. What's this contraption?
It's quite simple. Since a lie detector was used in the Judge Clarence Thomas case, top companies are now using them as part of the interview process.
Oh, does it work?
Well, let's try a little test, shall we? I'll ask you a question and the detector will tell us if your reply is truthful or not.
Okay. Right. Fire away.
Is Les Dennis funny?
Yes. Oh, it does work, yeah.
Well, now, before we begin the interview proper, how about some refreshment?
Tea, coffee, perhaps something stronger?
Oh, tea, please. I never touch the hard stuff.
Don't forget the lie detector's still switched on, mate.
Oh, right, yeah. Is that a picture of your wife on the desk?
Yes, it is, actually.
Oh, what a fine-looking woman. Whoops.
Keep this up, we'll have more bleeps than a John McEnroe interview. I'll have you know, Ethel and I go back a long way. I've never looked at another woman. Let's please get on with the interview, shall we? Now, on your CV, it says you have 6-0 levels.
That's correct, the same as John Major. Now, why is the machine bleeping now? I have got 6-0 levels.
I don't think John Major has, though, you see. Here's the tea.
Oh, right, good. Oh, I could do with a cuppa. I'm making a real fool of myself with this machine, aren't I?
No.
Don't worry. You're not the first. I've seen this machine reduce timeshare salesmen to tears.
Now, Mr. Viken, why do you think you're suited to this particular job?
Well, I'm intelligent, assertive, punctual. And above all, I can be trusted.
You've blown the machine up now. You've done nothing but lie throughout the entire interview. But I'm pleased to say, you've got the job.
Great. I've always wanted to be the editor of the Sunday Sport.
The children act is here to stay. Kids are going to get their say. Well, that's what they do to us today. Yeah, they want to.
Jack and Jill went up the hill to fetch a pail of water. Jack fell down and broke his crown and got compensation in the small claims court.
Yeah.
Georgie put, she put an empire. Kissed the girls and made them cry. So his teacher told him off for sexual harassment.
Boys and girls come out to play. The children act is here to stay.
Kids are going to get their say. Grown-ups will listen to us today.
Tommy.
Yes, miss?
Shut up.
Hello, Headlines.
Hello?
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 Yes, hello?
I am that 91-year-old what has just split up with my husband, who is 97. All them years and we never got on.
Oh, really?
Hello?
Hello?
In the world ever to get divorced.
But tell me, why did you take so long to do it?
Well, we thought we'd better wait until the kids left home. Oh.
I wish to make a complaint.
Sorry, we're closed for lunch.
Never mind that, my lad. I wish to complain about this basking shark, what I purchased not half an hour ago from this very boutique.
What's wrong with the fish, then?
I'll tell you what's wrong with the fish, my lad. It just floats about in its fishbowl all day, doing nothing. That's what's wrong with it.
It's meant to do nothing. It's a basking shark.
Well, I could do with a bit more shark and a little less basking, if you don't mind.
Look, Mr...
Python. Monty John Eric Graham Michael Terry Terry Python. I changed my name by deed poll.
Really? How very uninteresting. Look, I'll refund your money, all right? I'm not in the mood for this. You're a nutter. You come into my shop at least once a week imitating a Monty Python sketch.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't.
You most certainly do.
Is this a 5-minute argument or the full half hour?
Right, that does it. Out.
I'm not going to play. I'm not going until you play the game.
Out. Oh, let's get on with it then.
Right then. This basking shark is no more. He has ceased to be. He's expired. He's gone to meet his maker. This is an ex-basking shark. Your turn.
Well, I've had a look round the back and we're right out of basking shark.
I see. I see. I get the picture.
But I have got a giant scarlet kipper.
Now, let's get this straight. You're trying to sell me a giant scarlet kipper, are you?
Yes.
I see. In that case, I'm stopping the sketch.
Why?
It's getting silly.
You started it with that stupid fish. I only said I'd sell you a scarlet kipper.
Well, there you are.
What do you mean?
I come in here for a dead shark sketch, and you try and fob me off with a red herring.
Oh. And now for something completely different.
You know, sometimes I wonder if these so-called foreign correspondents know what they're doing.
What's up, dear?
Well, did you read in last week's paper about the regime in Burma? that's just a bunch of assassins running a vile, repressive dictatorship?
No, I'm not sure that I did.
Exactly. Of course you didn't. No one's told us anything about Burma, and if it wasn't for this Nobel Peace Prize, we wouldn't even know now.
What's Burma, Dad?
Well, son, I think I better start at the beginning. In a run-down house in Rangoon, where she's under lock and key, there's a Burmese woman waiting, and she's known as San Suu Kyi. So she wins the Nobel Peace Prize, but for years until today, not a story's hit the headlines, not an MP's had their say.
And we've only heard today, when we've only heard today, that a martyr's locked away, and the refugees flee Rangoon for the shores of Bengal Bay.
There's a part the West must play. How can any man delay? For we might have wavered last week, but we've all the facts today. There's a regime sits in Rangoon that's as tough as Burmese teak. While they talk of rights and freedom, they forbid Suu Kyi to speak. And it's guns that bought their power, and it's drugs that bought their guns, but it's terror that prevents them letting Suu Kyi meet her sons.
While they market drugs for guns, though we've only heard today, there's a part the West must play. While the refugees flee Rangoon for the shores of Bengal Bay.
While a martyr's locked away, how can any man delay? Is the debt we owe the Burmese more than prizes can repay? I was in the pub the other evening, having a quiet pint, when all of a sudden I saw this bloke at the bar give another bloke a Gorbals kiss. Well, I nearly choked on me Cromdy Malt Shandy, honestly. I mean, Gorbals kiss, that's a headbutt, according to the latest edition of the Brewer's Dictionary of 20th Century Phrase and Fable. But with all these new euphemisms creeping into our language, I wonder how it will affect the lives of those masters of the Queen's English, the Cockneys. Let's go over to the palace of self-made Welt Baron and full-time Pearly King, His Majesty Bert Dunlittle, and his good lady wife, Queen Elsie, to find out. Oi! Oh, love a duck, I'm getting rid of that alarm clock, Elsie, I'll tell you. Oh, it's too noisy, isn't it?
Nah, Bert, me cocksparrow. It's the only thing that gets you up in the morning, isn't it? Gaw, blimey.
Yeah. Strike a light. I don't know why we employ a butler. He's the ice cream freezer who's supposed to wake us, isn't he, with our breakfast. Strap up and no mistake.
Stone of flipping crows, you're right, me old China.
Else?
Yeah, Bert?
Why are we talking like this? There ain't no tourists around now, are there?
I should hope not. We're still in our Uncle Ned. Oh.
Come in.
Oh, good morning, sir, ma'am. Breakfast is served. A plate of Jack the Ripper's bones, as you like them.
Yes, a bad time too, Gielgud. What kept you, eh, John?
A thousand apologies, sir. I've been running your Jeremy Beadle.
Here, what's your language in front of the carving knife here?
Yeah, what kind of talk is that, then? That ain't real Cockney.
Your observations are truly devastating, ma'am.
Here, are you taking the Sir Arthur Bliss?
That ain't real Cockney either, Bert. No mistake.
All right, don't you puff and dart. I can't... I curse the day that flipping Brewer's Dictionary ever came out with its poncy new meanings. Well, Gielgud, I'm still waiting to find out what running my Jeremy Beadle means.
I would have thought it was painfully obvious, sir. Jeremy Beadle, game for a laugh, bath. I'm running your bath, sir. I trust that clarifies things.
Well, I'll be blowed.
I'm sure you will, sir. What? May I assist you in your dressing?
No, 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 you may not. Oh, cool. Ben, Elsie, how many more times must I tell you? You don't sew the pearly buttons on the inside of me underpants.
So long as you are pearly king, you'll have buttons sewn on everything, including your soldier ants.
Soldier ants. Oh, blimey. She's at it now. That book's got to go.
Sir, if I might interject, may I say that's a nasty-looking Hampton you've got there. Have you tried putting a mustard poultice on it, dear boy?
Hey, what's he rabbiting on about, Bert?
The master's Hampton Court maize. That nasty-looking grey is on his knee. God.
That does it. I want that book out of this cat-and-mouse right away. I'm not having my butler getting a touch of the brewers.
That is one problem I have never suffered from, sir.
I'm talking about the dictionary, ain't I?
Ah, that'll be your son, young J. Arthur.
Oh, which one is he? We've got so many saucepan lids, I lose count of who's who. Hold up. Is he the ginger one?
He is the one with the red hair, yes.
Yeah, Arthur. You ain't letting him in here. He's the one who advised me to buy shares in Thames TV. God, dear old Lord. What a merchant banker.
At last, sir. Well, some Cockney rhyming slang we're all agreed upon.
And finally, Stop Press.
A new 85-mile-an-hour terror ride is coming to Blackpool.
It's called a drive with the Marquis of Blandford.
Doctors have been treating a patient with a disease thought to be 50 years old.
Yes, he must have caught it off a waiting room magazine, mustn't he?
An Australian restaurant menu features a new soup called moth broth.
Funny. I thought they hired out morning suits and toppers, didn't you?
A motorcyclist is offering a delivery service for condoms.
And it's proving so popular, men are ringing up 5 minutes later for another one.
12 dogs recently entered a karaoke contest.
And the winner got an audition with the Pet Shop Boys.
Hollywood film producer Steven Spielberg got married at the weekend, but his new wife is not very happy.
She said the wedding video had a budget of $50 million, and on their honeymoon he used a stunt double.
And that's the end of the Stop Press.
But I'll be back next week unless I lose my franchise. Ta-da, ta-da!
News Hudlines starring Roy Hudd, Chris Emmett and June Whitfield with Peter Marston, the Hudliners. The announcer was Richard Clegg. Sketches were by Tony Hare, Mike Coleman, Richard Stoneman, Pete Hickey, Les Rowley, Alex Stepanyuk and Nick R. Thomas, Jeff Cousins, Richard Parker, Jenny Maynard, Wendy Gray, Tony Weekly, Sid Wright and Bill Smith, with songs by Richard Quick and Jeremy Brown. Additional lines by Dave Dixon, Derek Fletcher, Simon Marsh, Faye Dickinson, John Holland, Peter Steggles, Noel Reed, Phil Rosen, Michael Dimes, Robert Linford, Tim Maloney, Graham Dakin and Jerry Goddard.
All of whom claim to have been sexually harassed by our producer,
Doug Mack.
Hello, Hudlines.
Oh, hello.
Oh, hello.
I just wanted to tell you that I do so agree with that new survey.
Oh, which one's that, then?
The survey that says when women make love, they're always thinking about other things.
Oh, I see. What makes you think that's true?
Well, I'm phoning you now, aren't I?